This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
To bring you up to date, of course, back in the old days, because NICAP had so many military people on its board of governors, including the first head of the CIA, there was a feeling that maybe NICAP was infiltrated or operated as a government front. And Jerry, you explored these possibilities. Tell us more.
Yeah, I kept hearing these stories, and I'm kind of an anti-paranoid. I'm so anti-paranoid that if someone was out to get me, I'd be the last guy to figure it out, actually. But I was had access to all kinds of internal documents within NICAP, including internal memos and letters and so on. And I was particularly interested in the circumstances under which NICAP had, at least the Kiowa era NICAP, had died. So I went through all these letters, which were not meant for public consumption, but are quite revelatory if you see them. And in my encyclopedia on the entry for NICAP, you'll see the summation of what was in those materials. But basically, the CIA didn't have to infiltrate NICAP for it to fail. Keel was a lousy manager. In fact, he was hardly there. He knew nothing about finances. There was nobody there who knew how. They might have been good UFO students and UFO researchers, but they weren't good managers and they weren't good bookkeepers. And so what finally happened was that J.B. Hartranft, who was a member of the NICAP board, got access to the financial records and was horrified, particularly when he discovered that if the organization went belly up, the members of the board would be financially responsible themselves for paying off all the debts. When he saw this, he just freaked out, and he gathered the other members of the board together and told them what would happen, and they weren't very happy to hear that either. And so they immediately decided that Kehoe had to go. And it wasn't infiltration, it was just mismanagement. It was just actually kind of a boring story, at least to an outsider. If you were a board member, it wouldn't have been boring, but it's been terrifying.
With regard to Major Kehoe, and I didn't know this when I interviewed him some years later, did he ever make a public comment with regard to his dismissal from NICAP, or did they just cover it over that he left for personal reasons, that sort of thing?
Well, I think that it was known, I don't remember specifically the details, but it was known that he'd been fired, and there were people who were really upset about that because Kehoe was, you know, widely admired within ufology. He was a major figure in its history. And Kehoe wasn't happy, but I think that mostly they didn't go public about this. I know that Dick Hall was fired, and then Gordon Lohr, they squawked publicly. But I think the story about the CIA takeover really didn't come into prominence until years later.
Right. They just found out that the board members happened to be people who had been employed by those agencies. But Kehoe had a whole bunch of friends in the military, from what I recall reading a bunch of the same stuff you did, and that they actually did have a genuine interest in UFOs, just like he did. And, of course, Kehoe was also in the Air Force. So, I tend to go with you, Jerry, on that one, for sure.
If you're living in D.C., you don't have to throw too many stones to hit the CIA or retired Kehoe's social crowd.
You know, Kehoe, I think, went to Annapolis with the first head of the CIA, Kehoe being a Marine, by the way.
Well, Roscoe Hillenkoetter, Kehoe was a Marine. Hillenkoetter was a Navy guy,
But they did get pretty jerked around by the Condon Commission when they were doing that report. Yes. From everything I was reading, Condon didn't even read the stuff that NICAP sent in. He just sat on his desk. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, and I agree completely with Jerry about, you know, how the CIA and FBI didn't have to infiltrate the UFO groups to help them along to fail. It's like the arguments about, you know, there's some secret cabal that is manipulating what's going on in ufology to make ufology look crazy. No, no, it's it no. doesn't have to be a secret cabal. No, no.
We well, did that very well on our own.
Yeah.
Okay, but to be fair, there was the Robertson panel, and that was convened under the direction of the CIA. So, I mean, that was where they had plans even for Disney Corporation to take part in the whole debunking and ridicule campaign. So, you know, it's not like there's no substance to it. And well, Ruppelt, I mean, Ruppelt was really not, in, you know, he was very offended by that, as was Hynek, who sort of participated in an in a observer fashion.
Yeah, I mean, the CIA has periodically had interest in UFOs, and including interest in debunking the UFOs, particularly during the early Cold War. That's true, but, you know, one thing may be true, but it doesn't necessarily lead to another.
Yeah, I mean, Alan certainly, in his Hynek UFO report, laid out case after case after case where, you know, a lot of the, he was being pressured to explain cases that didn't have easy explanations because he was being pressured in order to do so. So, you know, there's a lot of that that certainly was going on. But in terms of a large scale plan and strategy, that was certainly probably more because the U.S. Air Force didn't want to admit in any way that it didn't know what was going on. It wanted to be able to control the information and have everyone believe that it knew what was going on, and it was so as not to cause some fear to spur out of control.
Well, for most of its history of interaction with UFO sightings, I think the Air Force just didn't want people to bother them about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was no deeper than that. It was just bad public relations strategy to throw out lousy explanations and insult people's intelligence. But there wasn't a deep, sinister reason for that.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Well, not with the Air Force. And for that matter, the Robertson panel, that was all a reaction to the Cold War. If I'm remembering correctly, that's because they were concerned about how it might clog up the lines of communication in the event that there was some sort of emergency that required action on the part of the national defense agencies. So they wanted to try and quieten it down as much as possible. And so they definitely recommended debunking strategies, including ridiculing people. And up until that time, there wasn't a lot of ridicule going on. It was just a phenomenon that nobody knew about and could explain. And they were trying to figure it out as best they could with what limited budgets they had.
Well, there was a lot of ridicule from the outset. I mean, ridicule has been as much a part of the UFO phenomena as anything else you can think about. And it's just, you know, human beings really messed up the arrival of UFOs. They just didn't know how to deal with it. So many of them, unfortunately, people in positions of power thought the way to deal with it was to ridicule them to death.
Well, actually, hang on here. We had the Kenneth Arnold sighting, the big, that was one of the main ones. There was no, like, ridicule going on there. Then they had the actual Roswell incident in the papers. That made it around. People started to get interested in it. There wasn't a lot of ridicule that settled in those days. I mean, the very early days, people thought, wow, this is a really interesting story. Let's put it in the news.
I spent a fair amount of time reading the early coverage of UFO sightings in the American press. Believe me, there was a lot of ridicule.
Yeah, even the origin of the term flying saucer was very flippant, you know, with the fact that it was a saucer skimming across the water, or however we want the mythology to do it. And it was no question that they took Arnold seriously, but the whole idea of flying saucers the idea that these things were flying flapjacks or whatever really spun out of control in the even in the early days of the late 1940s. So, yeah, there was a lot of ridicule, but that, a lot of that came from media. I think the military and government encouraged it because, after all, it was certainly ridiculous to think that, you know, flying saucers could be invading our airspace without us knowing about it, by golly. So they'd have to know about it.
That's possibly why so many people, of course, believe that the government knew the facts and they were hiding it from us and there had to be some kind of disclosure. One of the main arguments that Major Keogh voiced in his books is that there was a silence group within the government that harbored the secret. More to come with Chris, Jerry, Jean, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As we ended the previous segment, Jerry Clark was about to say something in response to what Chris had talked about. Go ahead.
My impression of the early press coverage was that there was ridicule. I agree that there wasn't as much ridicule as there came to be. The initial response was people were just taken aback. They didn't know what to make of this. And they certainly didn't think they were seeing spaceships. subject was in middle of August 1947, and spaceships don't even figure among the possibilities that were expressed in sufficient numbers that they even registered.
Right, but they were thinking Russians or something like that, foreign powers.
Well, one popular theory, which seems pretty bizarre now, but it was widely discussed in the early days, was that this was some kind of side effect of atomic testing. But his opinion solidified over time, and there were the controversy went on long enough, then the ridicule really began to define much of it. It didn't happen immediately.
Where did the whole idea of then the space visitors come from? Was that from the contactees, or
no,
or how did that get started then?
I actually written a paper on that subject. It's in a book published by the University Press of Kansas called The Extraterrestrial Hypothesis in the Early UFO Age. It comes from members of the Fortean Society who were interviewed early on, who came forward and told reporters and filed stories saying that there was a history of these things, that these things went back for decades and maybe centuries, and that Fort had speculated that these were visitors from other planets. And those stories really planted the idea of the extraterrestrial hypothesis.
And that would have been, like, around when?
Within, like, several days and 2 weeks of the Arnold sighting.
Of the Arnold sighting.
Start to show up, yep.
Well, then those darn Forteans always causing trouble.
Of course, the Air Force had its part in it, too. We know now, it was held back for a while, but there was the estimate of the situation that Edward J. Ruppelt, who said he held right in his hands and looked at, and they, their own engineers at Wright-Patterson, determined the best, most reasonable answer was that they were interplanetary at the time.
Well,
I don't think, they didn't mention interstellar, but I don't think but that's what he said. So, that takes us right back to the Project Sign.
The reason that the Air Force guys in science figured out sooner than the general public did, because the guys at Sign were engineers and had a pretty realistic sense of what earthly aviation technology was capable of. And the flying discs were way beyond that. So they deduced they had to have come from another planet.
Yeah, we still can't make, as far as I know, any kind of a flying disc that can do what these things were reported to have been doing even back then.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. As much as a few people, I don't know if you've had Palmiro Campagna on your show, but at one point he was saying that the saucers that we were seeing in the 60s and 70s were continuations of the Avro Aero Project saucer that had been reclassified and re-engineered in the United States.
That used to be called the secret weapon theory. It's unfillable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
I don't know, Dad. I don't think any of us on this show right now would agree that the Avro Aero car has anything to do with what fighter pilots were chasing, at Mach 1.
No, absolutely not. No,
no, I'd say the chances of that are zero.
How about you, Chris? We talked a little bit about disclosure just at the beginning in the first episode with Jerry, and 2020 seems to be very optimistic for that, at least with some people. And it seems to be moving closer to that. What do you think? Is 2020 going to be the year, or?
Well, I've heard that prediction for 20 to 30 years, if not more. this will be the year. Is it Klobuchar? Klobuchar, who just said that if she's elected, she'll reveal all about UFOs.
Oh.
Is this going to be the year? Of course, I have an issue with the whole disclosure thing anyways.
What's your perspective on it?
Well, as I understand it, even the concept of disclosure has changed a little bit. It's no longer, suddenly they're going to stand on the White House lawn and admit everything. Now it's, and I'm trying to remember the term, is it gradual acclimation or gradual something? And the idea is that, the information is going to trickle out and the public's going to be,
Trickle down disclosure.
Trickle down ufology. That's pretty good. I like that. because and of course that's because, you know, over the past 20 years, a disclosure with a capital D hasn't happened. So they're using a small D and saying, well, no, it's doing a little more subtle, and this, you know, the Bilderbergs or whoever's in charge are being a little more clever about this, and that's why you're hearing about these, you know, contact modalities and whatever else. And as far as disclosure goes, everything I'm seeing in ufology, or everything I've seen in ufology during the past 40 years, is really just the result of diligent researchers and investigators finding more documents, working with scientists, working with researchers, diligently poring through reports and talking to witnesses and learning more about the nature of the UFO phenomenon. It has nothing to do with disclosure. And I've made the point before, I think even on this podcast, that in terms of disclosure and of Canadian UFO documents, there's never been a problem of disclosure because we've had a record continuous since 1947 of UFO documents reported to the military and to official sources that have been made available to UFO investigators, you know, right till now. As a matter of fact, I just received some interesting cases through the Department of Transport and National Defense just over the past few weeks before Christmas, because they're continually being reported. And the cases are there. There's no need to file Freedom of Information Act requests. The reports are there. And in the case of Canada, there's something like 8,000 documents that have been made available by scanning and are available through the National Archives. So the Canada at least has a complete record. You know, we don't know what happened in the United States after Blue Book, you know, from about 1970 to present. Where those UFO reports are going is a big black hole. But people like Paul Dean and Isaac Coy and a few others are finding many, many cases of, you know, military jets, you know, involved in UFOs. This has nothing to do with TTSA or ATIP or whatever. These are people who are finding cases through other channels and documenting the fact that the military has been studying and reporting UFOs all along. So, you know, I don't buy into the whole disclosure thing. I don't buy into the fact that, you know, somebody, I mean, the idea of disclosure that somebody, you know, I mentioned the Bilderbergs, but it could be literally anybody, but somebody's controlling the information. And I just don't see that. It's better to think of the fact that it's just the result of honest, serious research by passionate individuals who are finding some fascinating information.
Now, I have a few stories to tell, but I may just save them for this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, which will feature Jerry Clark and Chris Witkowski. Certainly opening up some more possibilities, we have a couple more segments with Jerry Clark, Chris Witkowski. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Shouts of "Death to America" was being called out in Baghdad among thousands of mourners in a funeral procession for Iranian General Qassem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. airstrike. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he was planning a major incident.
When he landed in Baghdad, the travels before that put him in places all around the region which were aimed solely at building out what they were referring to as the big attack.
Democrats, including Virginia's Mark Warner, has questions.
There was a threat. The question that I still need to get answered is, has the administration thought through all the ramifications of their action? A better outcome would have been if the administration had briefed congressional leaders beforehand, briefed our allies beforehand.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Got Jerry Clark has a response to what Chris was talking about. Jerry?
Yeah, I completely agree with Chris. I think that the reason that we know what we know about UFOs is ufology, which is civilians digging out stuff, investigating cases. Now, we all kick ufology around and are acutely conscious of its many failings. But ufology came through, at least the best ufologists did come through and preserve a lot of material information, sightings that we wouldn't know about if it weren't for them. So once in a while, we can pat ourselves on the back. Not too often, but once in a while.
Okay, so you guys both are kind of on the opposite side of the table from me then when it comes to what I think they, meaning those with all the instrumentation, know. Because I find it really hard to believe that an organization like the Armed Forces, especially advanced ones like they have in the United States, where they've got satellites that are up past the moon that can look back on the moon and monitor everything that's going on in our airspace at all times, 24/7, don't know more than we do.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm not saying that the Air Force or Navy, whoever, don't have classified UFO information. That's different than saying that there is an organized disclosure movement that is preventing the free flow of UFO information to the general public. And I think we have to be realistic. I mean, there will be UFO cases, and if you want to mention Nimitz, go right ahead. But if you want UFO cases that are reported during peacetime by military operations, that are classified because they're classified during, you know, secret maneuvers done under special circumstances. For example, you can just imagine UFOs are seen by military individuals in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, elsewhere, and so forth. Those we would rightly so not have access to. That's very different than saying that there is a disclosure program that is preventing people from understanding what's really going on with UFOs.
Okay. I'm with you on that, Chris. What do you think, Jerry?
I think the point you made is a reasonable one, but I share Chris's analysis that yes, they're certainly they know more about individual cases. But when I talk about what we know about UFOs, I'm talking about what's publicly available to us, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certainly going to be some cases and details and investigations and projects we don't know about. Do we have, is the little green men in pickle jars a real thing? I don't know.
I like that, little green men in pickle jars.
Yeah.
Every time I eat a pickle now, I'm going to be thinking.
Yeah,
when I have deli. Here, this is a semi-kosher deli. I have pickles. Now I'm going to think, oh, my God, what was in that bottle?
I just, as a matter of fact, today posted on updates a flyer from UFO Pizza in St. Paul, Alberta from 1998. It was a UFO conference in Canada. And the store was actually called UFO Pizza because of the St. Paul UFO landing pad.
Of course.
And I'll tell you, so as far as delis go, their UFO special, and I'm reading this off their flyer, was ham, pepperoni, mushroom, green pepper, olives, onion, shrimp, and cheese. And you can get a medium for $19.
You're making me hungry.
There you go.
That sounds pretty good to me.
So where do you guys think we're going in 2020 then in terms of a direction? One, just to preface that some more, we've had a couple of our guests say that there's been a bit of a resurgence into whole contactee movement where people are going out and, feeling the whole Space Brother revival thing. What do you guys see happening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question that the contactee movement is really the greater part of ufology right now. If you look at the lineup, for example, of Contact in the Desert that's coming up this year, it's mostly contactee. A lot of the discussion of consciousness and spirituality and channeling and so forth, that's, it's noticeably greater in terms of the lineup than in previous years. It seems to be growing in popularity. It's hard to avoid it when you're speaking and when I'm speaking in public, people are always coming to me and asking me about it. I think we're certainly seeing more in terms of that. In fact, to the point where people are not interested in typical UFO reports anymore. Lights in the sky, nocturnal lights, nah, not interested. I want to know about why the aliens are watching me every day. That's more to what people are fascinated with. So yeah, 2020 doesn't bode well in terms of serious research into ufology is just my intuition.
Jerry?
Well, I'm a little more optimistic than Chris is because I think the appearance of coverage of serious, interesting evidence-laden UFO sightings in media, including, New York Magazine, the New York Times, and CNN and elsewhere, suggest that maybe there's an opening for a relatively ridicule-free UFO study, and that would be good for all of us if people in positions to do serious investigations with funding and science dare to do it because there's a serious interest. That's a good thing, and that is genuine progress. So I guess we'll just see what happens.
I certainly hope so. I sincerely hope that is what's going to happen. I am also encouraged by the increased positive media. I remember going back and doing a media comparison at the beginning of the TTSA announcement and in the following of the Nimitz announcement and so forth. And even though the amount of media coverage is quite high, if you go back and do a survey of newspapers and periodicals, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's actually not that much higher. significantly. But in terms of, like you say, New York Mag, and, I mean, New York Times has always had articles about UFOs that were relatively ridicule-free. So, I mean, some publications have sort of been an even keel, but when you get things, I mean, for example, Benias's article in Popular Mechanics, that was just published. Popular Mechanics has been publishing articles on UFOs for many decades. That's nothing new. But to see somebody of the caliber of Benias, people like Sarah Scholes doing doing stuff on Wired and you know, other publications, Slate and so forth, it is encouraging to see that some journalists are taking a closer look, but not necessarily advocating the ET hypothesis, but taking a look at, you know, more from a, I don't know, a sociological viewpoint, you know, how ufology has shaped our worldview and how our world is shaped by the ufological view.
Certainly. I'm thinking of Dr. Paul Kingsbury, for example, from the SCU.
Another Canadian. Oh, you got to love us.
Yeah, Jerry, you got to love us.
Well, he was just what? I don't, how far was Canby? Like 20 miles south of Canada?
Yeah. I'm not sure. But it sounds
really. It's about 200 miles south.
Okay, 200. Okay.
Yeah. I think I could get to Winnipeg in 3-4 hours.
Oh, okay.
But actually, I want to say this if we have room for it. And that is, I have been reading the New York Times all of my adult life. And as it was confirmed in a paper by a couple of journalism professors published in the Journal of UFO Studies, the New York Times has always been hostile to UFOs. And it's only been recently, in the last 2 years or so, that it began publishing stuff that was open-minded and straightforward. And I can't tell you how shocked I was when I saw those articles.
By the way, one of the authors of those articles, Leslie Kane, will be joining us on the Paracast in the next few weeks. We'll have more information about that as soon as we firm things up. Jerry, Christine, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I agree with you, Jerry. The Times suddenly becoming interested in the series of articles beginning, I think, in December of 2017. So what's your perception of that?
Well, I know Leslie, and I know her co-author, Ralph Blumenthal, a little bit, talk with him. And I don't know exactly what happened, but they really put them through the ringer when they were reporting on the subject. They wanted to be sure that they, being the editors of the New York Times, wanted to be sure they had everything right. They were really nervous about it. But I don't know if there's a great story beyond that, other than that Kane and Blumenthal had a great story. And they couldn't think of a way to rationalize that it wasn't a great story, and they were willing to take the flak to publish the story.
Well, we've got Christopher Mellon in there now, and he's got some pretty serious credentials. He had a column going. I'm not sure if he still does or not. I mean, when you're talking about the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, writing columns in the New York Times advocating for UFOs, that is pretty serious. You're absolutely right. It's a major turnaround.
Well, it was also one of its right-wing op-ed writers, whose name escapes me at the moment, but he did a column on conspiracy theories, and he made the specific point that some things ordinarily dismissed as conspiracy theory are not that. They're much more substantive, and he specifically mentioned the case of UFOs. When I saw that, I nearly fell over. I couldn't believe it. But
wow. That's pretty major.
Indication of some changes, at least in some levels.
Of course, according to some people in high places, the New York Times, it just publishes fake news. So,
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to get into that, do we?
But it's how media is perceived these days, too, right? The American media is actually a little subtly different from the Canadian media. I've had a relatively easy ride from the Canadian media. I think in all the years, I've only had, I think, two or three really, really bad articles written about the research I've been doing. In general, they've been very, very kind and in many ways sympathetic. But there's no question that the American media has been, in general, very, very scathing and unapologetically ridiculing of ufology in general. In fact, I think one of Alan's classic papers was Laugh, Laugh, Study, Study, all about, you know, how the ridicule curtain has been, you know, solidly down for so many years. And, you know, when at the time he wrote the article, I mean, Jerry, you might remember what year it was, but at that time, Alan was optimistically saying that the ridicule curtain was lifting ever so slowly.
Well, he said something in 1952 that I think is really a cogent observation. He said, quote unquote, "Ridicule is not a part of the scientific method, and the public should not be taught that it is."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm so amazed that many scientists bring their biases to ufology so quickly. I've had physicists, nuclear physicists, not Stan, but others, who have, I've engaged in debates with, who would just make the most absurd statements that were not based on any facts whatsoever. In fact, they would make statements based on things that they had not done any research on. And in any scientific forum in their own profession, they would be ostracized and chastised for making such ridiculous statements that were not backed up by factual data or even supporting documentation. But with regard to UFOs, they felt completely at ease ridiculing and citing stuff that was simply not true in any way, shape, or form. And I found many, many scientists like that. Now, the good news is, and you mentioned Paul Kingsbury, he approached me, and we had a great interview prior to his publication of his thesis, that, you know, right now there are literally dozens and dozens of PhD and master's theses being published on the topic of UFOs every year because it's such a rich field of study. That shows that, you know, whether the old guard scientists are dying off or I don't know what's happening, but the fact that ufology is gaining some momentum and credibility within the new scientific community as a worthwhile subject of study, it's actually very heartening and promising because perhaps, you know, we're certainly living in the James Cameron and Steven Spielberg era now where, you know, we can see aliens on our TV and movie screens regularly. Visualizing that is making it easier for people to think in terms of what is our place of the universe and can we actually talk about traveling between the stars in any easy and foreseeable way. So maybe, you know, the ridicule curtain is, you know, may remain firmly down, but it's been circumvented by people coming in from the wings.
Well, I should have mentioned myself that there's a lot of work being done on the academic level in terms of, you know, PhD theses and publication of books by university presses on UFOs. So there's a real opening on the academic level, which is great.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but I caused personally an uproar in the academic community when I donated my UFO files to a university archives. And I had a call, this was just over the past few months, and I had a call from the university president's office saying, "What the hell are you doing, drawing attention to our university like this?" And that's the second time I've had a call like that. But what's happened is that it became a news item in publications that were sent to post-secondary institutions across North America, and the university archivist has been receiving positive phone calls and emails from researchers throughout North America and even some from England now, fascinated with the possibility of being able to have academic studies on ufology accessible through archives. And of course, it's not the first UFO collection and files that have been donated. I mean, Allen's are available.
McDonald's,
certainly, and there have been books written about, you know, both of those. And Stan Friedman's files aren't in a university archive, but are in a government archive. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, people are paying attention and these files are being made more readily available suggests that there are going to be academic researchers taking a look, a hard look at some of what's been reported over the past little while, you know, unfortunately post hoc rather than, you know, as things are going on. But I think it's very good to see that, you know, the research community is taking a harder look at what ufology has to offer.
We're going to have to wrap up here. Jerry, you don't have a website. So if they want to find out more about you, what do they do?
Well, they can do a web search and read the variety of assessments of my life's work.
Read his casebook and his encyclopedias.
The UFO Encyclopedia, now in its third edition as of a year ago. If you want to know, get some idea what I've been up to, that's it.
Quickly, Chris, where can we find more of your work?
Certainly, my books are on Amazon, but my survey is at survey.canadianuforeport.com, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and all those silly social media things.
You can find us on those silly social media things, at least a few of them, on Twitter. It's the Paracast. We haven't done the Instagram thing yet, maybe later. We're also on Facebook with a couple of Paracast communities, groups, whatever. We have the fourth version of the official Paracast store at theparacast.shop, where we're offering 15% off if you use the keyword UFO lowercase at checkout. We have four different logos, so you have a wide variety of branded merchandise. We also have the Paracast Plus. What's that? It's a way for you to get a copy of the show free of the network ads. And we also offer the After the Paracast podcast, lately featuring special correspondent William Puckett with the very latest UFO sightings. For more information, we have a special domain for that too now. Go to theparacast.plus, P-L-U-S, theparacast.plus for more information about the Paracast Plus. Jerry Clark, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Chris, always glad to hear from you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And one last one is that there's a crowdfunding campaign to digitize the UFO files that have been donated to the archives, and it's give.umanitoba.ca/UFO files. You can help digitize UFO files.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.